Hall, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, February 5th, 1904. Dear Sister Hall, I received your letter this morning and was pleased to hear from you. I have been surprised to hear of the severe cold and the heavy snowfall in various places throughout the East. So far, we have had the mildest winter I have ever passed through. The month of January, which I supposed would be the worst month of the winter, has been most pleasant. During the whole month, no snow has fallen, and no rain save one or two soft showers. The mornings have been cool, but as the sun has shone brightly all through the day, I have been able to go out riding every day. Last Sunday, Brother and Sister Thorpe and Sister Ings in the sanitarium carriage, and Sarah and I in our phaeton went over Howell Mountain to visit a sawmill worked by some of our brethren. We enjoyed the ride and had a very pleasant visit. Brother Chapman, who for some time worked in the food factory here, is now working in this sawmill. He left the factory on account of his health, and with his wife and baby moved into the mountains. He has built a rough board shanty, consisting of one long room, and in this they are living. At one end is the cooking stove, and at the other the bed. The floor is covered with straw matting, and the room is as neat as wax. Brother Thorpe took two boards and laid them on the top of some blocks to form a table, which we covered with a cloth, and then spread out our lunch. All enjoyed the dinner. We then had a season of prayer, asking the Lord to bless the encampment. There are several of our people working in the mill, and they live in tents near Brother Chapman's. Several times I thought of you, and of May and Addie, and wished that you could be with us. I was delighted with the beauty of the scenery. When you return to California, we shall take you up into these mountains. Brother and Sister Chapman have made a wise move. The physical exercise to be found in hard work in the open air is strengthening to brain, bone, and muscle. We thought it might be a blessing if some building could be put up at this place for those who wish to live in the high mountain air. The fir, the hemlock, and the pine are full of fragrance. In this neighborhood, there is a large tract of unoccupied land. Some of our people who are living in the poisoned atmosphere of the cities might profitably secure a few acres of this land. They could support themselves by raising fruit and vegetables and poultry. The sanitarium would gladly buy eggs and vegetables from them. I wish that some such enterprise as this might be started. A great blessing would come to parents and to children if they would leave the wicked, polluted cities and go into the country. In order to enjoy good health, we must ask the Lord to bless us, and then do what we can to place ourselves under conditions the most favorable for health. We should exercise intelligent common sense in our habits of living. Of late, my health has been very good. I have been freed from afflictions which for the past 25 years have caused me more or less suffering. Of course, the burden upon my mind in regard to the condition of our churches has been severe indeed, but the Lord has been very gracious to me. Sometimes, as my heart has been drawn out to God in prayer, I have felt such a nearness to my Savior that I have praised God aloud. At other times, as I have thought of how greatly my precious Savior has been dishonored by those professing to love Him, such sorrow and anguish have filled my heart that I have been unable to sleep. How can men think that they love Jesus when they take a course that puts him to open shame? Night after night, these things have been presented to me. I have had to write many things that have pained my heart. But after bearing a plain, straight testimony with my pen, I have felt some relief. But I will not dwell on this. Often, when offering prayer at family worship, I feel great peace and comfort, and I have the assurance that the Lord loves and sustains me. I mean to devote all my energies to doing true gospel medical missionary work. I intend to give my forthcoming book, The Ministry of Healing, to our sanitarium work, as I gave object lessons to our educational work. I am trying to help in securing places where sanitariums can be established, in which the sick can be treated in accordance with the principles of health reform. A demonstration of the value of these principles will do much toward removing prejudice against our evangelistic work. Medical missionary work pioneers the work of the ministry. It prepares the way for the entrance of the gospel with its soul-winning power. The great physician, the originator of the medical missionary work, will bless every one who will go forward, humbly, yet trustfully, seeking to plant the standard of truth in every place. I know that God lives, and that He works with every one who loves Him and keeps His commandments.
You've probably heard me speak of the Potts Sanitarium in Paradise Valley, near San Diego. This property has recently been offered to us at a very low price, and I've been very anxious that we should secure it. The bargain has now been completed, and $200 have been paid on the place. Sister Gotzian and I have agreed to help in the purchase of this property. For a long time, the medical work in Southern California has been at a standstill because of the unbelief of some. But now the time has come for us to move forward. San Diego is a health resort, and every year thousands of people visit it. Something must be done to give them an opportunity to hear the truth. We have treatment rooms in the city, but only a few can be reached in this way. What we do must be done quickly, for soon we shall be unable to work as freely as we can at present. I shall continue to work in faith, borrowing money to invest in the Lord's work, till I am warned by God to stop. By the help of God, I mean to invest all that I have in the work of proclaiming the glad tidings of salvation in every part of the world. Sanitariums should be established in many places to stand as memorials of the testing truths for these last days. I know that the truth will reach the hearts of many who, but for the agency of these sanitariums, would never be enlightened by the brightness of the gospel message that God has given us to give to the world. Self-sacrificing gospel workers, who have faith in God, should be chosen to take charge of these institutions. They are to take up this work, not with the hope of gaining financial advantages, but because their hearts are filled with the burden of the message for this time. They are to be willing to sacrifice anything in order to save the souls ready to perish. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. If the majesty of heaven, the King of glory, condescended to come to our world to die for the guilty race, what should be our work? And how should we regard our calling? We are to practice the same self-sacrifice that led our Savior to give Himself up to a shameful death, in order to make it possible for guilty human beings to be saved. By pen and voice, by the circulation of our literature, by the preaching of the Word, by every other agency that can be employed in consecrated service, the work of warning the world is to be carried forward. We are laborers together with God. Let us not forget that word together. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. If God is working with us, qualifying us to be laborers together with Him, shall we not dismiss our unbelief and show unwavering faith? Let us no longer act on the negative side, but on the affirmative side. The work of God for these last days is to be carried forward in self-denial and sacrifice. Whosoever will come after me, Christ said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8, verse 34. The majesty of heaven laid aside his royal robe and kingly crown and clothed his divinity with humanity. For our sake he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich, and throughout the eternal ages be partakers of the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In all that we do or say, in all our outlay of means, we are to strive with firm purpose of heart to fulfill the purpose of Him who is the Alpha and Omega of medical missionary work. Our hearts are to be softened and subdued, bound up with the heart of Christ, that we may draw souls to Him. We are to sow beside all waters, winning souls to Christ by tender compassion and unselfish interest. When we seek to understand the necessities of those with whom we are brought into contact, and to obtain their confidence, they will open their hearts to us because of the kindness we show them. People are eager to hear the truth from those whose lips are governed by the law of kindness. The divine word, spoken by such messengers, will be as music in their ears. Thus, many of those whose minds are now filled with prejudice against present truth may be won to Christ. Our work is a great and solemn one, and in it are needed wise, unselfish men, men who understand what it means to give themselves to unselfish efforts to save souls. But there is no need for the service of men who are lukewarm, for such men Christ cannot endure. Men and women are needed whose hearts are touched with human suffering and woe, men and women whose lives give evidence that they are receiving and imparting light and life and grace, men and women who have heard a message from heaven. We are not to bind ourselves up with anyone whose only motive is to secure opportunities to benefit himself.
Men and women are needed who eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God, receiving and living upon the Word of God. Christ says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." John 6, verse 56, 57. It will not be long before we shall see him in whom our hopes of eternal life are centered. If I can only meet my Savior and enjoy his presence, all the trials and sufferings of this life will be as nothingness. Do not forget, Lucinda, that in the Lord we shall find our comfort and our joy.